everyone, welcome back to the I Should Totally Be Dead Right Now podcast, where we tell true stories of survivors of true crime, natural disasters, and everything else in between. How's it going, Michelle?
It's going pretty awesome. We've had quite the roller coaster of weather. We had like snow last weekend, then the craziest thunderstorm that lasted, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours with like crazy torrential downpours. And now it's sunny and clear and like 70 degrees outside.
Wow. Okay. So that is
been interesting, but I love it. It's great.
Keeps you on your toes, at least. My goodness.
Is it still raining there?
No, it's beautiful and sunny. Ah. Sunshine. Well, what are we drinking today, Michelle?
Well, you tell me. I didn't quite make it right, I think, but it's the Dirty Shirley, right?
It's the Dirty Shirley, absolutely. So it is basically your Shirley Temple, just some with vodka, but this one, so it's an ounce and a half of vodka, and then some grenadine, just squirt some in there, I mean, however much you want to taste, really, and then fill it up with ginger beer and some fresh lime juice. Just squeeze the juice right in there and there you go. Dirty Shirley. Love it. No, it's really tasty. I love Gert Shirley Temple. Yeah, add some vodka to it. Or ginger beer. I'm like, heck yes, that sounds amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, it is a really quick go-to delicious cocktail.
Yeah.
I always had Shirley Temples growing up. And so, you know. I feel like it almost should be like a slutty Shirley or something like that. Maybe I've had too many of these dirty Shirley.
Maybe, you know. Yeah, let's.
Okay, we'll just leave it at dirty.
A dirty Shirley, that's good enough. Sexy Caleb, Shirley.
Like,
that's...
I don't even know how to react to what you're saying. Like... Shut up. You suck.
Too funny. Too funny. So give it a try. Like, it's really easy to make. It's really delicious. So if you want something that's, you know, yummy to sip on, there you go. There you go.
Boom, boom, boom.
All right.
Delightful. Oh, we're in for
she
it.
She starts to sing. Yeah, she's starting to sing. We know it's a good episode when that happens.
Oh, no. You're probably going to tell, like, a really serious story, too. I'm going to have to, like, bring it back a little bit.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, this one.
Yes, I expected as much. All right, Caitlin, fucking take it out.
It's not an April 1st. It's not an April Fool's story, Michelle, so don't worry.
You know what? It never even occurred to me once to do an April Fool's story. Damn it.
Sorry, girl.
Oh, lost opportunity.
You have to wait a whole nother year.
You know, I still feel bad about the episode that I thought you were doing an April Fool's story the entire time, but it was actually a real story about the guy who had himself castrated. And so I think I like kind of made fun of him mercilessly. I felt really bad afterwards when it was in fact a real person.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was an interesting story though. That was bizarre. Well,
that's a weird thing to want to do.
There's some mental health issues for sure. Well, okay. Poor guy.
Okay. Sorry.
All right.
So no April Fools here is what you're saying.
This is all true. All true. Okay.
So is mine, for realsy. I'm not just saying that so you think it's true.
Sure. Yeah. We'll see.
No,
all right.
This is true. Sorry. Okay, go ahead. So
this story is about Mason Wells. It is April 15th, 2013.
Okay.
And Mason is 16 years old.
Oh, okay. He's pretty young then.
Mm-hmm. So he is with his dad in Boston, Massachusetts, watching his mom race in the Boston Marathon.
Oh, no. I know. This is about, okay.
Mason and his father was around the 60 yards away when a bomb went off.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine how terrifying that would be.
No.
And like trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
All right.
But luckily his whole family came out unharmed.
Oh, well, that's good news.
Yeah. There was no injuries for his family, but the Boston bombings did kill 3 people and injured 280 people.
Yeah, it was a big deal. I remember.
It was a huge. Yeah, absolutely. So there was 2 bombs that went off. One went off, and then like 12 seconds later, I believe another one went off as well. But luckily, again, they survive, so they actually go back to Sandy, Utah.
Okay. So that's not about the. I thought it was going to be about that day.
Nope.
Fucking threw me for a loop, Caitlin.
It's starting. I know. You gotta be on your toes.
Yes, that's clear. All right. All right.
So now it's 3 years later,
Okay.
and Mason is going on his mission trip as part of the Latter-day Saints Church.
Okay.
So on March 22nd, 2016, a 19-year-old Mason, along with three fellow missionaries, entered the Brussels airport in Belgium. But on this day, two suicide bombers also entered the Brussels airport as well.
I thought that
Yeah.
was in fact the case.
You're right.
What's
So
up with poor Mason?
I
Oh my God, what are the
chances?
odds?
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay, continue on.
So there were two suicide bombers. When the first suicide bomb went off, Mason was in shock and he suddenly exploded with pain, fear, and uncertainty.
Oh,
Fair.
yeah, I can only imagine. Oh.
He was hit with flames and shrapnel. As, yeah, blew him off his feet for sure. I mean, yeah.
Oh gosh, like you see in the movies where they just get blown
Right.
back. Oh
Yeah.
gosh.
As the fire and flames dissipated, all he could focus on was to get out of the airport. So he ran out of the airport despite having third-degree burns and lacerations throughout his body, a cracked heel bone, and a ruptured Achilles tendon.
Oh shoot. Wow, I'm amazed he can walk.
I'm sure he was
Like
just like in
the
shock and
power of
just,
adrenaline.
yeah.
Oh.
Yep, he knew what he needed to do to get out, and by God, he did.
Yeah, jeez.
So luckily, Mason, he survived with his other missionaries as well.
Oh, good. I was gonna ask.
But unfortunately, 32 people died and 340 people were injured in
Oh
those
my gosh.
bombings. Mason would spend a total of 2 months in the hospital in Belgium and then back in Utah as well, undergoing more than half a dozen surgeries and procedures.
Oh man, and you
Yeah.
know they were painful.
Oh.
Oh
Getting
God.
shrapnel all throughout your body and ugh.
And third degree, I mean, at least third degree, it's nerve damage, so it's not
Right.
as, I mean, I think it's still horrific no matter
Oh,
how you cut
absolutely.
it. It's just, oh God damn
Yeah.
it.
Ugh. So the doctor told him that he would never run properly again, but Mason shrugged it off because he came from a long line of Marines and he had a dream to etch his own name into his family legacy of military service, and his dream was to become a pilot.
Okay. So he's
So,
like, sorry, doctors, I'm gonna go ahead and exceed all of your expectations and do what I want. Yeah.
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So,
Woo,
just,
amazing.
I know, right? Just 1 year later, Mason went into the Navy and began his studies at the Sworded Service Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we
Great.
nailed it.
Sure. But these experiences he went through reshaped him, for sure.
How could they not?
Yeah.
My
I mean,
goodness. Yeah.
he states, "I will carry horrific memories from Brussels and Boston with me for the rest of my life. The smells, the emotions, the casualties, they aren't the kinds of things that you can just force yourself to forget." And I believe because smell is such a powerful thing, like I could smell something and that would bring me back to like a childhood memory or something like that. So I can only imagine if he smelled something that was like there, oh, just bring him back to that.
They do
Terrible.
say that smell and memory are very tightly
Close.
connected. Like, of
Interesting.
all the senses, smell and memory are like best friends.
That is so interesting.
Well, and it's true, though. You're absolutely right. You smell something and it can just take you back to that moment or take you in or can make you very nostalgic very quickly or, you know,
Yeah.
or in Mason's poor case, you know. Remind you of something horrific that happened
Yeah.
in your life. Oh.
Terrible. He struggled mentally, finding himself asking, why me? Why kill innocent people? Will this happen again? Which is fair because this is the second time it happened. Like,
Well, that's like kind of the craziest part of the whole thing is that he was in two very traumatic, sort of
Yeah.
outside to him events, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh. God, Mason.
So while in school and staying busy, the nightmares seemed to fade, but Mason found himself constantly running scenarios in his head. If he went to the mall, like, is someone gonna appear? What would I do? How would I react? So he's just running scenarios in his head all the time.
Yeah. Oh man.
How could you not? How could you
How
not?
could you not? Like watching every exit, trying to remember where every exit was. Like, you know, if this happens, where am I gonna go? And oh God.
Yeah.
That would
And
be
plus with
really tough.
bombings, I mean, they could be anywhere. They could be
Yeah.
anyone. It's just, So he states, it was during these moments that I came to terms with three fundamental truths. Having strength is a choice, being happy is a choice, and becoming who you want to become is a choice. There are often so many reasons to become angry and embrace hatred. After all, someone had tried to kill me, but every day I told myself that I would overcome it all. That meant working hard to do so.
Oh
Great.
man, what a
I know.
positive statement. Well, and I totally agree. I mean, I just feel like choice is the ultimate tool that we have in our lives, and choice supersedes choice. You can make a choice and then decide you want to choose again and choose something different, or you know, and it's just every moment you have an opportunity to choose to be better and choose to be positive. And that's like clearly what Mason is doing. So kudos.
I know.
Like, well, and I think that's probably such an avenue to healing. You know, as opposed to just stewing in your own hatred. I mean, I'm sure he has that. I'm sure that comes up for him and anger and all that. How could it not? But then to decide, you know what? I'm not going to let this have power over me. I'm going to go this other way. Oh,
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
sorry.
And that takes strength in itself to just to be like, you know, I'm gonna choose to not hate. I'll be like, I don't know, I'm a petty bitch, man. I would be
No, you're not.
Yeah.
I'm not
Oh,
buying that for a second.
thanks, girl. I don't know, I'd be an angry man. Okay. So now, May 2021, Mason is 24 now. So this
Okay.
happened when he was
If you tell
19.
me he's in another fucking bombing, I'm like hanging up and we're done. Just FYI.
Well, no.
Oh, I was like, are you serious? I didn't mean it, but kind of.
No, he graduated the United States Naval Academy and he moved from Maryland to Florida, where he began pilot training. Like he said, he wanted to be a pilot.
Oh, hooray. He did show those motherfucking doctors.
That's right. And he also got married to a fellow Navy grad, Cassidy Hilton, and he says, wait, no, he didn't say anything. So even though he's beginning to get new titles in the military and husband and all that stuff, he will forever be a survivor.
Indeed.
That
Sorry.
sounded
So
so.
wise. That was a thoughtful.
Oh, I see. I
Like,
see.
my goodness, yes, he will
Yeah.
always be a survivor. I
That's
was
right.
gonna say a Sir Thriver, but
You can, Michelle. You sure can.
he's a Sir Thriver.
Absolutely.
I do
Absolutely.
like it's always just so stunning to me that people can go through sort of the worst that the world has to throw at them and the worst that their fellow mankind has to offer, and they come out almost a better person for it, or and just are able to stay positive and able to grow and, you know, be more, I guess, because of this awful experience, you know, and it just sort
Interesting.
of shoves it right in the motherfucking faces of all the bad guys, as far as I'm
Yeah.
concerned. Like right in your dumb face, you can't break my spirit. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. No, I definitely agree to that. I don't know. It just takes like strength to survive, and it takes strength to find something positive in that outcome. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so much strength that it's amazing to me that someone has that much strength in them. Ugh.
I have so much admiration for so many of these survivors that we talk about. Ugh.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
incredible.
It is incredible. So good job, Mason. Holy cow. So sorry you had to go through two bombings, two
Yeah,
terrorist attacks. Like,
one's enough. Like, one is plenty for any person.
Oh, absolutely. Luckily, the first one, like, nothing. awful happened to him, but he still was there, saw what happened, had to deal with all that trauma of, I'm sure it was loud. I'm sure people died, people got really injured, lost
People
limbs. Like,
crying, people screaming. Oh,
yeah,
God.
absolutely not. And you were just there to cheer on your mom, like, good job, mom. But no, fucking no.
Yeah.
Now I'm upset,
Ugh.
but. But good job, Mason. So
Yeah,
proud of you. And
indeed.
yeah. All right. We're gonna move on to Michelle's story.
All right. All right. So I'm taking us back to September of 1999.
Okay. Not as far
And
back
this.
as usually, but I like it.
No, we're hitting the 90s this time.
Okay,
So just
okay.
imagine, I'm probably in college at this point. I think I had just moved to Oregon, actually. I had moved
Oh.
in 98, so I was probably
Great.
working at the bank or something equally kind of lame. So anyway, sorry. Okay. So this story is about Colin Angus, and Colin has decided that he is, some would say daring, some would say foolhardy. I would say, like, on the verge of maybe being ridiculous, expedition. Like,
Okay.
this is an expedition that Michelle would never ever be on.
Gotcha.
So that, I guess that doesn't say much because
I know.
that's like
Doesn't
every
paint a big
expedition.
picture.
So his goal is to raft from the source of the Amazon all the way to the end. So he wants to raft the entire length of the Amazon River in
No.
South America.
No,
Yeah,
no,
I
no.
agree. So at this point, no one had actually ever done it, but many people had died trying.
Oh my
So
gosh.
it's extremely dangerous and is, and as I said, no one had really done it up to this point. So he's like, fuck it. That's the thing for me to do. So he decides, he does a lot of, planning and calculating. And he figures out that it's going to take three people, it's going to take 6 months, and it's going to cost $5,000 a person back in 1999 money. So
That's
it's
a lot.
probably like 10 grand now or
Yeah.
something ridiculous. So he managed, and this included all of their supplies, airfare, the price of the raft, the food, the supplies, and all their travel and everything. So he ends up finding two guys that he knows that's willing to, they're like, yeah, this sounds awesome. Let's do this.
Did he tell them, like, hey, people have died doing this, or disclaimer?
I
No.
think he must have. I
He had
mean,
to.
well, and this is really before the internet's just like barely
Right.
getting going. So there's probably like a chat room about it. Maybe not a whole lot more. They're probably checking out books from the library and having maps.
Wow.
Who even knows what was going on? So his two other team members, he managed to wrangle into going on this trip with him. Actually, they were probably super excited and this was going to be awesome. But we have Ben Cosell, who's 26, an Australian conservationist who traveled with Colin through Europe one summer. So that's how these two know each other. And then there's also Scott Borthwick, who's 23, who's South African computer student, whom he had worked with Colin on as a construction laborer in London.
Wow.
So that's how they know each other. So they're all going. I think, how old? Oh, Colin is 27.
Oh, okay.
So they're all, early 20s, probably very fit. So off to South America they go. They arrive in Peru in early September. So pretty much they get to Peru, they stash their gear, they head out to the Pacific Ocean to kind of dip their toes in and check out their surroundings and just spend some more time formulating their plans.
Okay.
They have decided to actually cross South America from the West Coast to the East Coast on foot and raft. So that's how
Oh.
they're getting to the place where they need to go, is they're hiking and they're rafting. So
Okay.
again, I'm out like totally.
Yeah.
I suppose this is fun, but this is like so not, I don't know. I don't do a lot of hiking outside. And they're gonna be like rocking through the forests and things. Who
Yeah,
even knows what's out there?
exactly.
So the first leg of this journey is this 150-mile hike that's mostly through desert, and they're going to get from Peru to the Continental Divide. I'm not really totally sure where that is, but we'll just keep on going. So, carrying their really heavy backpacks, they head off. At this point, they're actually already a little bit behind schedule because they want to get to the Apurimac River before the rainy season begins. And because if the rainy season starts, it's just the water is going to be too treacherous. There's no way that they're going to be able to make it from one end of the Amazon to the other.
Gotcha.
So they decide to take a shortcut through the uninhabited desert.
Oh.
So they end up slogging through this desert pass for like 45 miles.
Oh,
And
wow.
it, of course, the tropical sun left them completely exhausted. And by the end of the second day, they were out of water.
Oh,
So it's just
okay.
like, I think it was just far hotter than they perhaps anticipated, or that, they were clearly going through water quicker than they thought. So on this, at the end of the second day, they end up reaching this algae-filled pond that is crawling with mosquito larvae. That does not stop them. I think
Oh,
they sort of
no.
brush aside some algae
Ugh.
and drinking quite a bit. And so they were able to slack their thirst, and then they made camp. So they were going to stay there. They ended up crossing the Continental Divide 2 weeks later, and they ended up setting up camp at the foot of, okay. So I looked up this word, and it's not, I couldn't find any how to pronounce. So
Okay.
I'm going out on my own.
Oh gosh, okay, let's hear it.
So they camped at the foot of Mount Kehuisha. Kehuisha. Yeah. Mount
Okay.
Kehuisha. Yeah, nailed it.
So they were walking for a whole week?
2 weeks. Over
Two
2 weeks.
weeks.
Yeah, no, this is like they're going from the west coast of
I get, yeah,
freaking
okay.
South
Ugh.
America all the way. Yeah, from Peru to Brazil to the Atlantic.
Ugh,
So
okay.
yeah, no, this is a month's long journey for these guys. So I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Okay,
Okay.
okay.
So they end up the next day climb to the summit of this mountain so they can collect rainwater that will eventually make its way to the Amazon. So the top of this mountain essentially is part of the source of the water for the Amazon. So it was just
Oh.
like, I think, very exciting for them to actually gather water that would have made its way to the Amazon River otherwise, So
Gotcha.
it's kind of cool. Anyway, but at this point, now they're ready to actually start the rafting.
Gotcha.
So
Okay, we're
we're ready
rafting
to rock
now.
and roll. So let's kind of take a little breather here and talk about their journey,
Okay.
what the goal is, what this actually is about. So the Apurimac is the Amazon's most distant tributary. So it's the place that the Amazon's water comes from that's the furthest away from the actual Amazon. So
Okay.
they chose like the most challenging spot that they could have,
Of
is
course.
kind of the impression that I got. Now, the Amazon, it drops down as they're going, it drops in elevation like 13,000 feet. So, i.e., there's a whole lot of waterfalls. And at some parts of the river, it's actually like 6,500 feet deep. I mean,
Wow.
so it's significant. And the amount of miles that they're going, that they're going to travel along the river, is 4,300 miles. I mean, so this
Wow.
is a freaking trek. I mean, this is a adventure of a motherfucking lifetime, is
I
what they're going
yeah.
on.
Absolutely.
So
Okay.
they've made it through the thirst-ridden desert. They've made it up the mountain, and now they're ready to get their raft and go, like on the raft for real.
All right.
So now it's October 6th, and they're loaded up all the gear. They're in their red rubber raft. They've got wetsuits on and life jackets and helmets. I mean, so they're
Okay.
ready to go. And there's a bunch of natives kind of all hanging out there watching these guys get ready. And Colin sort of turns in to his buddies and are like, it looks like these guys are waiting for us to commit suicide or something. And so they look around and yeah, sure as shit, everyone's looking pretty solemn. So this one sort of gnarled man with missing teeth sort of steps forward and introduces himself as the village chief.
Oh.
And he tells them in Spanish, the river's not too bad here, but further down it becomes very dangerous. And
That's
Ben
nice.
Causal, yeah, he's like, he understood Spanish the best, so he translated. But at this point, they had received so many warnings, both here in South America and at home, that they were done. Like, they were done
Oh.
hearing warnings. They had read every single book that they could find about it. Yeah, they had read all kinds of technique. They were ready to go.
Sure.
And so they're just like, we'll be careful. Thanks for the warning, and head off. I know. So the group waves goodbye to the unsmiling villagers and they push off with a yeehaw. Yeah,
Yeehaw.
they're ready to go. So they're just very excited. They had like children running along with them from the banks of the river, very Indiana Jones like, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
okay.
And they head down. And it's also kind of good to note that they are heading into an area that is really, I don't know if controlled is the right word, but the home base of some of the most ruthless terrorist organizations, like
Oh.
on the, on the planet at that point.
Oh.
At this point, they're heading into Shining Path guerrillas like territory. So,
Okay, just a lot.
yeah, so they've got weather and environmental conditions to deal with. They've got a super dangerous Amazon River and rafting that they're dealing with. And now also these terrorists that they could potentially come across. So here we go.
Okay.
They're still feeling good.
Okay.
So they leave Pil Pinto, I apologize, and the Apurimac River sort of winds gently around, kind of going around these giant mountains. And at this point, aside from wildflowers and moss, there's not really any sign of life. There's not a lot of animals on the banks. It's just kind of them in the water. So that night, they camped along a white sand beach with, of course, the gorgeous stars above them, and set out again the second day.
Okay, so
So,
day one was successful. It was great.
yeah, well
Okay.
put. Peaceful, delightful, besides the ominous warnings from all the village people, they seem fine.
Okay.
Day two, they head out. And at this point, the river's beginning to gain some volume. It's getting bigger. It's twisting a little bit more sharply as it heads down the mountain. And huge boulders are sort of spiking up in the river. So now it's more like rapids, and they really got to watch what they're doing.
Gotcha.
So they had sort of a way to navigate the waters. What their game plan was is they would paddle to shore, get out of the boat, discuss how they were going to handle the rapids ahead, and they take turns sort of being at the, is it this helm? Whoever does the, oh God, girl, I'm sorry.
It's a
Whoever
raft, I don't.
does the steering.
There you go. Okay.
They took turns, kind of in the different positions of the boat, I guess. So this really big sort of rapid with a lot of boulders comes up. They get off to the side, they look it over, and then they notice that this particular rapid ends in a waterfall. And so they're trying to figure out, and it's an 8-foot drop, so they decide that they can go for it. Like
Oh,
they're gonna
okay.
go for it in the raft.
Oh, okay.
I know. Ugh. So Colin is steering and they head into the rapids, but Colin sort of quickly realizes that they're not over far enough. they need to get over to the other side a little bit more quickly than they're getting there. So he's yelling at them to paddle, but the raft now had veered sideways, just ends up cascading over the waterfall, like in a poor position. So they end up sort of going over sideways and flipping. Ben and Scott are thrown into the water, but Colin smashes against a boulder.
Oh.
So they land in the water, he lands on a boulder. Fortunately, he was just really bruised, but otherwise unhurt. So no broken bones or anything. But what that really did was, I think, kind of put him in a super shitty mood.
Fair enough.
It pretty much, they were able to catch their raft and get off to the side, but they felt like it was maybe a bit of a bad start. You know, this is only day two and they've got months of rafting to go. So they keep on with their river journey. Several days kind of go by without a whole lot of issue. They still go to the side, plan their way, how they're going to navigate through the rapids and kind of do that. And they're finding that they're able to do it. So they're pretty excited. So now Colin is regaining some of his confidence.
Okay.
After his crash into the boulder a few days before. And so they're just really now just like, look at where we are. This is incredible. Isn't this just perfect? We're freaking in the Amazon. We're doing okay. They've had a few scares, but they're not letting that dampen their enthusiasm for the rest of this trip.
Gotcha.
They come to a class 5+ rapid.
Ooh.
Do you know what a class 5 rapid is?
I know it's not good.
Yeah. It's bad. No, yeah. It's agreed. So it's considered extremely difficult for expert rafters, and it's considered to be the limit of what you can actually raft.
Oh.
Like anything beyond that, humans aren't going to make it.
Okay.
So they sort of, again, figure out how they're going to do it. And what ends up happening is the river sort of acts, I don't know, almost like, they say a sieve, but I don't really know how that works. But anyway, when the river goes through rocks in a certain way, it sort of creates suction.
Oh, okay.
Which will suck somebody down and underneath the water and sort of hold them pressed up against the rock.
Mm.
So that's how quite a few people drown, because they just get sucked under from this pressure of the water sort of speeding up as it goes through the rocks, but then not being able to go through the rocks themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So
this is sort of what they're dealing with. This is the danger of the rapids that they're going to attempt. So off they go. They paddle successfully through the first drop, and then the current sort of immediately swings them sideways into a boulder.
Oh, of course.
Like, so they head down the first drop, they do okay, hit this boulder, and so it sort of lifts the stern like 3 feet in the air, and Ben was thrown overboard. And despite having his life jacket, the undertow, because of this, how the rocks were, as I just explained, yanks him under.
Oh.
And sort of starts to pull him downstream up to the rocks, you know, that are under the water.
Okay.
Pretty dangerous. So our two guys remaining in the boat, Colin and Scott, sort of shift their weight around to keep the boat from flipping, and are keeping a lookout for Ben. They're like, where the fuck is Ben? So Ben actually manages to pop up in front of them.
Oh.
And so he's like pulled downstream pretty quickly, hit the rocks, and then continued downstream. Kind of fortunately. So at least he's not caught in this undertow and
he's
drowning as we speak. So he pops up, but before Scott can grab him, the current slams Ben against another rock wall. So he's just sort of getting bounced all over the freaking river. And then he gets this sort of searing pain all along his side. And then gets immediately dragged to the bottom again, like from this undertow. And all he's thinking is like, I'm not going to survive it this time.
Yeah.
Forget it. So Ben's underwater. Colin and Scott are in the boat trying to find Ben, and up ahead is this 6.5 foot waterfall.
Okay.
So now they have to figure out if they can get down the waterfall. So they pretty much, Colin and Scott, secure their feet in the rope at the base of the raft, and they just sort of end up sliding over the waterfall, landing fortunately right side up, with both men inside. So they were like,
Wow.
"Woo!" So they just start paddling away because they were in a keeper hole. And so my understanding, a keeper hole is the waterfall can create a whirlpool at the bottom of the waterfall that will just suck you right in.
Okay.
Water's dangerous as shit, is what I'm
Yeah.
like. Let's not, play around waterfalls or anything.
No.
So they're paddling for their lives. And of course, all the while wondering what the hell happened to poor Ben. Unfortunately, even with them paddling, the two guys paddling as hard as they could not break out of this keeper hole. So they're beginning to get submerged, and they're sort of just caught in this churning whirlpool that's just sucking them down. And what they don't realize is Ben is actually trapped underneath them. So he is getting churned in this whirlpool as well, but he's fully submerged and getting like bashed into rocks.
Oh.
He also went down the waterfall just before they did, and they like essentially just landed right on top of
Of course. Oh my gosh. Okay.
them. So finally, they're able to overpower the hole. Like, that sounds bad, but Colin and Scott were able to paddle hard enough that they were able to get out of it. And then Ben sort of just pops up again in front of them, where they were able to actually like get him up and out of the water.
Oh.
It's like, and they're like, "Are you okay?" And he's, no, I'm okay." But he was shocked and amazed that he had actually survived. So that evening, Ben sort of sat apart, nursing his deep bruises and cuts. But he ended up able to, to recover. The journey continues.
So, okay. So they almost died. They're like, we won't do that tomorrow. We'll just keep going, though.
Yeah, we
Okay.
won't die tomorrow. We'll just keep on
Okay.
rocking.
Okay. Okay.
So now there are many days more on the river, sort of with no big anything coming up. So they're coming up to the, oh God, formidable Acobamba Abyss. Yeah, fucking nailed it. And they're like talking about this abyss, and they're like, "Do you think it's doable?" And they were like, "Yeah, we'll do it. We've read about it." So it's this 15-mile section of river that has canyon walls that are hundreds of feet high on either side. So it's
Okay.
really just this sort of like
One
gap.
way.
Yeah, it's like a river through the Grand Canyon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't scout ahead at all. You just can't see down it or anything. So they're scouting, well, they're trying to scout this abyss portion of the river. And at the end of the day, they ended up deciding that it was too fast and fierce. Too fast
Good.
and fierce. And so with all of their gear in tow, they end up trying to find like the next small village. So they end up scaling this 6,500-foot mountainside and followed this road and found a small village that had a little store where they stocked up on rice and beans and sardines and
Oh.
spices. Yeah, they were able to get their provisions back up. And they actually were able to hire a man with two horses and a mule. So they took all of their gear and zigzagged their way down a trail to the river below this abyss, this
Okay,
canyon.
smart.
Yeah, it does seem pretty smart.
Yeah,
Oh man, this is such a journey.
this
Like,
is a
and
lot.
there's
This is too
really
much.
no going back halfway through. You're not like, "I'm done." I
Yes.
mean, you're out camping in the middle of the freaking
Yeah.
Amazon.
Right. You gotta go
I mean, I guess
somewhere.
they could have tried to find their way back to a big city, but they were undeterred. They were going to keep on going.
Okay.
All right. So now they're continuing their journey below the abyss. So they were able to actually raft out the final portion of the mountains.
Oh.
Like, so now they rafted out of the mountains. And the nice thing is the rapids sort of gave way to gentle currents and just sort of rolling landscape as they went, you know. So now we've got rolling hills and all kinds of stuff. At this point, it's now mid-November. And so it's been a couple months that they've been on their adventure in Peru.
Wow.
And actually, they are less than one tenth done with their journey.
Oh.
So they've got a long way to go. So now the Apurimac River drained into the Eni River. I probably said that wrong too, which ended up turning into the Tambo River, you know. So they're sort of making their way through all these rivers that run towards the Amazon and all feed the Amazon.
Okay.
And it's warm. So now they're actually able to just not even have their wetsuits on. And it's not rapid. So they're not as concerned about having, you know, all of their safety gear on. They're rocking through, you know, just on their raft in their shorts and a hat and things. And, you know, so it's kind of become a little bit more of a comfortable routine and probably a
Okay.
little bit more fun, able just to sort of go along with the river, you know, and check out the sights and not be worrying about how you're going to die, you know, that day later.
Fair enough.
In late November, Ben spots some farmers on the shore walking over with rifles on their shoulders.
Oh.
And then they notice that there's a helicopter armed with missiles that has passed overhead.
Oh.
So when they dock to buy supplies, a dozen stern-faced Peruvian men carrying bows and arrows and rifles and machetes surround them. And they want to
Okay.
know what the fuck these three guys are doing in their area.
Okay.
And let's see. So, you know, I'm sure in some, you know, Spanish, they end up, you know, kind of explaining what they're doing. And the locals just are clearly looking upon them with complete distrust. And the elder of them is just like, it's not safe for you here. There's a lot of terrorists in the jungle. So now by this point, there's over 50 men that have surrounded him
Oh.
or surrounded them. So they're like, so they, you know, in their travel literature, it had said that the threat of the Shining Path gorillas was over, but turns out that in fact was not the case.
Okay.
Like, at all. Fortunately, they were sort of able to ease their way out of this circle of armed men and actually get into their boat and row away
Okay.
without too much more incident. But
Sure.
other than the warning that you shouldn't be here and you should probably get the fuck out of here.
These
But
men are really lucky just with the like natives there and just like, hey, it's dangerous. They're like, oh, okay, well.
yeah, we'll just roll anyway. Well, yeah, I can't even freaking imagine.
It's the 90s.
It is the 90s. It's a whole different time. It's, you know, you got that confidence that we just
Right.
don't anymore. It's fine. Rub some dirt on it. It'll be all
Yeah.
good. So a couple days later, they're, of course, paddling down the river and they see these sort of men in rags, like kind of come and run out after them. And they're like, check these guys out. And then the men are like now holding shotguns and pointing to them and demanding that they come on shore.
Ah,
And
okay.
so they're like sort of pretending not to understand what is being said to them. They're like, just kind of keep on going and sort of waving casually, like, we don't think that you're dangerous. We don't know what's going on. What's what? We don't know you. And so the leader was like, stop. And they were like, row faster. So they ended up sort of rowing for their freaking lives. And once it was clear that they were trying to row out of there, one of the men fired at them. And so they were like, oh shit, maybe we should go to shore. So they end up going to shore. And what ended up happening is it was a military checkpoint that they had failed
Oh.
to stop at. And so they didn't actually realize it was a military checkpoint, but they were looking for terrorist activity in the area. These guys just zip on through, trying to row as quickly as they can away.
Right.
And they weren't too pleased about that. So six men ended up coming out with rifles and pretty much open fired, like right above their heads.
Oh my
And
gosh.
so they were freaking out. They jumped out of their raft and they went to shore. And that's when they sort of realized the military checkpoint, like it was all explained to them. And after many more warnings, and like, do you guys have any idea what kind of danger you guys are in? They were able to kind of sleep in the barracks with the military. And in the next morning, they were able to
No.
kind of take off. The commander,
No.
I know. The commander of the military group that was out there pretty much said, you should leave super early in the morning because that's when the terrorists are sleeping off hangovers and such, and less likely to give you a hard time. So at 4:30, off they went.
So many warnings, so
I know.
many.
Maybe you shouldn't do this. Maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe you should. You know what? Fuck all you guys. We're doing it. That's what happened.
Okay.
Fortunately, 3 days later, they made it out of rebel territory.
Oh,
So,
okay.
safer grounds, if you will. By the end of November, they were in the heart of the jungle. And they would each night sort of camp along the shore. They suffered from mosquitoes, sand flies, spiders, large and unknown tropical bugs, white moths. And so, like,
I just
I
can't.
guess white moths would be attracted to their fire. And they said it filled the air like snow and it landed on their food and all kinds of stuff. So
Ew.
constantly battling, all kinds of crap. At one point, they heard sort of a loud splash off to the side and they got their flashlight and saw, a huge crocodile just hanging out right there. Fortunately, the crocodile went on their way. So they ended up kind of getting nervous about camping. I think they were worried about malaria and all the bug bites and things that they were getting. And so they ended up just really just spending almost all their time on the boat. They cooked, washed, and slept completely on board. So they would just take
Okay.
shifts and just keep on paddling. Their paddles that they had used for steering through the rapids now became oars, and they just sort of worked their way down the river. They managed to go about 75 miles a day. So they were
Wow.
going at a pretty good clip. On December 5th, they ended up rowing into a lower section of Colombia. And then 2 days later, they entered Brazil. And Brazil's their last country. I mean, granted, Brazil's huge, so they have a long way
Right.
to go. Yes. Unfortunately, even though they washed daily, their clothes were torn and were always wet with, because it was like raining all the time or just the humidity. Their clothes ended up being sort of rotted with mold. Like after, months of being out on the Amazon,
Yeah.
this peculiar red welt developed on Ben's foot. And within a week, the infection had spread, leaving hundreds of open sores all along the soles of his feet. And so it just made any walking total agony. And unfortunately, they, of course, had no access to really any medical care or, antibiotics or anything. And then soon, the same sores ended up showing up on Colin's feet. And so at that point, they had to sort of let it try to heal on its own. So they kept their feet out of the water and kept their feet out in the sun and just ventured on.
Oh my gosh. Miserable. I'd be so miserable.
So some days after New Year's, so we're into January now.
Wow. I thought this was supposed to be like a month trip.
Yeah, no, this is September to, let's see, the very end. I think it's into January is when they're finally done.
Oh,
We're getting to the end, guys. Thanks for hanging in,
God.
Caitlin. Okay.
Just stressful.
It is stressful. Like, I don't know how, like, just the pure misery. I mean, I'm sure they have incredible stories to tell
I guess
about
it's
all of this,
probably
but
funny now, but
yeah, I'm sure it wasn't funny then. Oh, man. So some days after New Year's, they actually couldn't see very far ahead of them, but they started sharing the river with ocean liners. And so they knew the Atlantic Ocean had to be close.
okay.
So they were coming to the end. One night, though, it was particularly foggy. The ship approaches and they could hear the engine, but they couldn't see the actual ship. And then all of a sudden they look up and the ship is like right there
Oh
and almost ran them over completely.
my
So,
gosh.
one last little, bout of survival before we're done. I guess this giant ship like passed within 20 feet of them and they almost got completely flipped and everything from just the wake of the ship because it was just
Wow.
this huge ship. And they were like, damn, that was a little too close for comfort, which is how I would think this entire trip was. So on February 8th, a heavy ocean storm hits them. They haven't quite fucking made it to the Atlantic yet. They had like 10 feet waves crashing over them and they were unable to dock. So they managed to find a fishing stake like embedded into the shore and just sort of tie off to that. And they put a plastic cover over the top of it and hunkered down as rain is just like hitting the boat like crazy and tossing them all over.
I thought you said that you ended in January, then we're in February
I
now.
was wrong. It was February
Oh.
8th. Okay, I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
It's okay. I was just like making sure.
No, you're right. I just thought they were almost there because of the ocean liners, but no, it took them like another month.
Oh. Okay.
So on 4 a.m., February 8th, feeling super seasick from this awful storm that just went by, Scott sort of takes a look out and he's like, hey guys, take a look. And they see all the water is glowing with this phosphorescent algae that is blown in from the ocean, like blown up river because of
Okay.
the storm. And so they end up like sort of tasting the water at that point. And they're like, it's salty. This is like an ocean algae. Oh my God,
Oh.
out there. So 2 hours later, they end up on the shore of the Atlantic with their journey done.
Oh
Finally.
my.
It. So it must have been like 6 a.m. of February 8th or something. But they were super excited. Colin had actually bought some bottles of champagne like a week earlier with like the last of their money. So they just like, went crazy shaking up the champagne and spraying it all over each other and just like, oh, we made it. So pretty much after months of doing it, they were able to navigate the entire length of the Amazon. And so Colin sort of looked at him and he's like, although I'm a little tired of you both, I love you. And they sewed some flags of their countries of Canada, Australia, and South Africa to their paddles and took pictures of themselves out on the, beach of the Atlantic with their raft. And in their moment of triumph, they had beaten the Amazon.
I
I don't know if they
guess.
did
I
it.
mean,
You're like, where was that other story you were going to tell? Can you go back to
that
that?
was just like, I was just like stressed the whole time. Like, every day was something different, and it took forever to accomplish.
I thought they were going to die in the desert before they even got on the raft.
Yeah, they had to hike miles and miles to get there, and oh, I could no. I already told you the story when I was rafting, and we don't go rafting anymore because my friends and I used to go rafting every year, And then one time we were going through the rapids. It's like 1 to 2 level, whatever the thing is.
Not a
It's not.
five.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was just a baby rapid, you know, but I still fell out and that scared the shit out of me. I went underwater, I hit my leg, and then underwater, it was like 2 seconds, but I'm like, I'm gonna fucking die. This is it. And then I pop
This is
up.
it. This is.
Yeah, I pop up, and luckily Nick is right there and he just grabs me and just he just holds on to me until we get to the end of the rapids and I just jump back in. But still, I was like, no.
Yeah. Well, it just unfortunately, like, it can happen a second. You
Yeah.
hit one bump and you're off the side and now you're underwater and
Yes.
it's very
Water is.
scary.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. Water is scary. Like, no.
I know, between like, of course the ocean is scary for lots of reason, but
Yeah.
it's like I do enjoy swimming in the river and things, but man, it's like it's more treacherous than I think I sometimes give it credit for, I guess I should say.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I love swimming, but you know, you can get too tired. You make sure you know how to float on your back, and the water could be
Yeah.
too cold, even though it's hot, which will take your breath away, which has happened to me. And it's so
I
scary.
think that's pretty common. Well, especially in Oregon, where,
Yeah.
pretty much most of the rivers and is snow melt, and it's 100 degrees outside, so you don't expect the water to be super cold, and then it
Yeah.
is, and you can cramp up and get in trouble really quick. Even strong
Exactly.
swimmers,
Oh,
so.
yeah. Even strong swimmers.
Oh.
Yeah. It's scary. So, hearing like day two on the river, he's like sucked in, and I would quit. I'd be like, no.
Underneath the freaking raft, like,
Yeah.
oh, my friend had this pool that her dad had made her. I just thought it was the coolest thing. So he was a, large tractor, I don't know, bulldozer type driver. So he bulldozed her this pool that was then lined with plastic and, was kind of hokey, but also really
Yeah.
cool,
Little
but
makeshift
they had
pool.
this big piece of like sort of covered styrofoam that you could float around on. And they always warned us to never swim under it, even though it was only like 5 by 5 feet. And I was like, whatever, I'm 10. I know my business. Thank you very much. And so I go to just like sort of dart under it. And then I was going to pop up on the other side.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I got trapped underneath that fucking thing. And
Oh.
like, I couldn't get enough swimming. I don't know what happened, but it's probably because I was young or whatever. But
Yeah.
it just seemed like whatever direction I tried to swim, the raft would sort of follow me. And so I
Oh.
had a really hard time getting out from underneath it. It was just, I was like, well, I'll listen to him from now on.
Right.
But it scared the crap out of me. Just, and
Yeah.
I was probably stuck under there for like 10 seconds or something silly.
Still, it's so much. It's
But
just scary.
it
Just
is
scary.
scary when you can't get access to fresh air. It's
Yeah.
easy to panic.
Easy to panic. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, they're gonna have a story forever. I mean, they're never gonna do that again. Well, maybe they will. I don't know, but
Yeah, they've probably been on like 80 other things. You look up this guy and it's like,
yeah.
that was just the first of many or some shit.
Well,
First and last.
I'm impressed for sure. My heart rate is up, but you know, good on them.
Well done. Just to be a young person again in my 20s and full of
Yes.
that, I don't know,
Confidence?
confidence. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Just
Yeah.
fearless. I was pretty fearless in my 20s. I did some stupid shit. We don't need to get into details, but anyway.
Well, good job, men. Holy cow. That's
Indeed.
incredible. What a feat. What an accomplishment, but still scary. Please don't do that. So,
Yeah. There's probably like, it's probably like no big thing anymore. That
I
cannot be
guess.
the case. I
They just have like guided tours
imagine.
now.
Yeah, probably. Good Lord.
Oh,
I'm gonna
goodness.
look up the abyss and it's like small little creek.
Yeah,
Yeah, right.
right, yeah. Okay, well, now that I need to calm down,
Indeed. It's time
yeah.
to go
No.
fix yourself another dirty
There
Shirley.
we go. Enjoy those dirty Shirleys and stay inside for right now and That's so stressful for me. Okay. Good job, Michelle. That was a really good story. Good job
Oh,
indeed.
sorry, we took some twists and turns and it was
We
long, just
sure
like the Amazon.
that yeah, I was
I
who
probably
knows what
still
was gonna
fucked it up in
happen.
lots of ways. Ugh.
No, it was cohesive. I got it. You got it.
Yeah, have fun editing.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoy this episode and we will catch you on the next one. Goodbye.
Woo. Bye.